What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 361. And if you didn't know, Amazing Spider-Man 361 was the first appearance of Carnage.
Full of really?
So just kind of some, similarities there in this number. But and as always, we're brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, purchases you make for the subsequent future for a while help us run the website, run the podcast. We get a little kickback from those purchases. It doesn't cost you anything, but helps us out a ton. As always, I'm here with the main man, Bob. What's going on, Bob?
I liked your little tidbit there.
Yeah.
A little tidbit of knowledge.
Well, I've got the tab up and I was like 361. And I was like, I got some knowledge to drop.
Nice. Well, Ryan is the big comic book guy. And if you guys didn't know, he started his own comic book YouTube channel called Collecting Casually. So I'm sure if you just search on YouTube, Collecting Casually, I'm sure it will pop up. He's got some pretty cool videos, actually. And I'm not really into comics. And I was like, especially his last video, he bought a storage unit. Storage Wars, sort of. He thought there was comics in it, and he was crying. It's pretty cool. So check it out. Like I said, his page is, he has some cool stuff up there. So if you're into comics, it's definitely something to check out. But what's up, man? Like another week. I always ask Ryan, I'm like, hey, do you want to start out the podcast? And all the time he's like, no, I don't want to. And this week he's like, yeah, sure. So I think Ryan's in a good mood for the podcast this week. So.
No, I'm good. I was, before I even hopped on to our pre-chat, I was like, man, I don't even remember the last time I played Apex Legends, which we stream afterwards usually. And I mean, it was just last Wednesday, but it feels like so long ago. I don't know. This last week seems like it was forever ago.
It does. I've been doing so much stuff. And it's like, it's now starting to feel like summer. I'm sure. I know especially like where you live. But so my apartment, it either like keeps in cold or just like radiates heat. And this room is the hottest. This room that I'm in is the hottest room because there's a window right here, and that's like the sun is right there, and I'm all in the corner. So this room is starting to get hot. I feel like I'm gonna have to get like the portable air conditioner soon, and just this room's gonna be too hot to do the podcast soon enough. So it does feel like it's good to
pop that back door open.
Yeah, I do. I always have this weird feeling. Every time I do the podcast, I have headphones on. I know my door's locked. I always have a weird feeling.
I get it.
Somebody's going to come in here if I have that door open. I don't know why.
I'll tell you. I'll be able to see. I'll tell you. With VR. Whenever I use my VR headset, like I'm always like, I know nobody's coming down here at 12 o'clock at night when everybody upstairs is asleep and I'm down here playing.
Yeah,
whatever.
I always just have some weird feeling that somebody's gonna be, and like I said, my main door is locked, like nobody's coming in here.
Irrational fear.
It's a weird irrational fear too. Like I'm one of those people that like in my bedroom, like I have to have the bedroom door closed when I go to sleep. That's just me. I don't know, but anyways, we have old man in the chat. It's good to see you here. I think that's 2 weeks in a row now because we missed him for a little bit. But he's back in the live chat, so good to see you here as well. As I always say, guys, we have our full show notes page that's going to have everything that we're going to be talking about this week. Some really cool things this week. Also, some really interesting things as well. So we'll jump into all of that. We're going to start with reviews, and I actually have them here. They're right here. Is these really cool Lexar Ares DDR5 RGB memory kit. So we took a look at when DDR5 first launched, Lexar sent us over their Ares kit, and these are their RGB. So they didn't have RGB right off the bat. I don't think a lot of companies did when DDR5 first launched. So Lexar now has RGB DDR5, and overall I think it looks really good. And one thing that's nice about these kits too is that they're available in faster speed. So you're going to get DDR5 6000 on this. I believe there's a 5600 megahertz kit as well. So this kit specifically has timings of 34, 38, 38, 76 at 1.3 volts, which is pretty good for DDR5. And I'll let you guys see the lighting specifically. I think Lexar has done a really good job, and they had Ares DDR4, which is very similar. The light bar is really thick, so it looks like a single light bar actually. It looks really, really nice. And one thing that's nice about Lexar too is so many companies now, because all these motherboard manufacturers have their own RGB software, you know, they don't offer any RGB software, but Lexar, if you don't want to use your motherboard's RGB software, they do offer their own software, which is nice. Some people hate, I think it's MSI Mystic Light, or it might be Gigabyte, one of those two. Like I've had people just like sit, like, they're like, I have to turn it off. I just don't want it on. It messes up my computer. So they have their own RGB software if you want to use it. You know, they have that there. But I think the RGB lighting does look really good on these. You know, it's just good. And like overall, the modules themselves, they're the same as the non-RGB version as far as like looks. So if I'll show you here, like these, you know, just like a cool, it's kind of like a gunmetal black bar. In the center there has Aries at the top, and then the back is just going to have the sticker on it and all of that. So I think these do look pretty good for DDR5 and for Lexar. Like if you think of Lexar, what do you think of?
Just like almost, I hate to say it, but generic, like flash drives.
Yeah.
Run of the mill, like your average stuff. But I mean, they've come out with quite a few products that we've looked at that are changing that perception, right?
Yeah, and I like that. I think maybe, you know, like so many companies have had like a game, like they're known for something else, but then they have a gaming line. I don't know if Lexar is going to like make Ares like their known gaming line or whatever it is, but I think they should, because this is like I said, for, again, a company like Lexar that we know for like flash drives and stuff, you know, this stuff is really, it's really good looking, and the performance is really good as well. Talking about that performance, you can see all of our graphs in the review, but overall for its speed, it is really good memory. I was able to overclock this as well. So not a whole lot when it comes to DDR5, again, you're not going to get a ton out of this, but their original DDR5, we couldn't overclock at all. And that was only 5,200 megahertz memory. So this is 6,000 megahertz memory, you know, off the jump. And then I was able to get this up to 6,400 megahertz just by simply upping the voltage. And that's the exact same timing. So 34, 38, 38, 76, pretty easy to do that. And I was able to get it up to 6,600. It just wasn't stable. So I think, you know, depending on your system, you could push it to that if you had maybe a better motherboard or something along those lines. But overall, like this stuff is pretty good for what it is. It's $149.99 for a 32 gigabyte kit. That's 216 gig DIMMs. I like this stuff. And it's very competitive. So it's going to compete with like Corsair, Kingston, G-Skill, you know, all of those companies in that 32 gigabyte, 6,000 megahertz range. You know what I mean? So overall, I think it's some good memory. The only thing that's kind of a bummer about this is that there's only two kits available, the 5,600 megahertz kit and the 6,000 megahertz kit. And that's it.
The only capacity available too?
Yeah. So there are only 32 gig kits. Mm-hmm. That's again, 216 gig DIMMs. There's not a 64 gigabyte kit. That's, you know, 232 gig DIMMs. Maybe they'll come in the future. This stuff was just launched, so maybe that stuff will come in the future, but it would be, you know, get some more capacities, even some more speeds. It would be nice to even see, you know, 6,800 megahertz if that's possible as well. Like I said, I like this stuff. It's really cool. So check out the review. Really cool stuff there as well. And then I took a look, let me check the chat. I always miss the chat. Old man said, I've heard it's hard, if not possible, to reach higher RAM clocks with AMD and DDR5. AMD is a little finickier, I would say, with DDR5. Intel, at least in my testing, is a lot easier to do the overclocking. But that's just in my testing. As the thing is too, is as these platforms mature and there's BIOS updates for your motherboards and things like that, overclocking and being able to reach higher speeds will become more possible as these things kind of come along. And that's what I've found in the past as well. So, but yeah, you can use this kit either for AMD or Intel. You know, that's X670, X670E, and then what are we on, Z790? I always get so messed up with all the motherboard naming, because you're just like, oh, what's on switch? Which one is DDR5? Which one
could
not?
Just sync up, right?
Yeah, let's make it easier. So, but talking about really cool stuff, and I thought this was super cool because this company emailed me, and I had heard of this company before, but we had never reviewed anything from them.
Yeah, I always knew their cases, right?
Yeah, they make like
Johnsbo cases,
some pretty interesting like mini ITX cases and things like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, they wanted to send over the CPU cooler. And I was like, I really like air coolers. I'll take a look at it. And I was just, you know, I got it in and I was looking at the price on Amazon. I was like, this thing's $30. And that's especially these days with, you know, inflation and things like that. We do see air coolers that maybe used to be $30 are now $50.
You know, 212.
Yeah. So thanks. So I saw it and I was like, $30. This could be a deal, or it could be a really crappy CPU cooler. Those are that's like the two routes you go down when something
There's
either going to be good and like worth the money, or it's going to be completely crap. And that's why it's $30. So, this is their PISA A5. They actually have two different versions. They have a white version. This is the gray version, and it's a single tower, single fan cooler, 120 millimeter fan. You can take a look at it right here. 5 heat pipes. And one thing that's pretty nice about this is that maybe based on its price, it is kind of geared towards more like first-time builders. You actually get the thermal paste pre-applied, which for us, we want to apply our own thermal paste, right? For seasoned builders. But for people who don't, I feel like for a CPU cooler, beyond the putting the cooler on your CPU, I think for a first-time builder, like putting that thermal paste on, like how much do I put? Do I do a circle?
And like depending on your method, like if you use like the single dot in the middle or whatever, when you put that cooler down, it can like spin a lot easier because it acts like a pivot spot. Whereas with this, yes, it's like firmly spread out, so you just can set that cooler down and tighten up.
Yeah, so the thing I liked about this is, like I said, it's there, but they do provide their own thermal paste. So if you're like a diehard, I'm doing it myself, you can remove this thermal paste if you want and put your own thermal paste on if you do see fit there. These heat pipes, it's hard to see because of the thermal paste, but they're direct touch, so they're going to make direct contact with the CPU here. Just to show you how big this is, it is not a big cooler at all. Very, very thin, which means you're going to have 100% memory clearance. It also means this is going to be pretty easy to install. It's not one of those big coolers that you have to take your motherboard out of the case to do the install. With all of our coolers, we do the install outside of the case so we can show it to you. But you could easily install this cooler inside of a case, no problem at all. Installation is very, very simple. There are instructions. Again, this is, I believe, Johnsbo's like a Chinese company. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And we always worry about like the instruction manual. Can I read this? Does it make sense? The instructions are very easy to follow. Like most coolers, and again, we did this on an Intel system, but you install the backplate, it pops through, you put these spacers on, you put these two mounting bars on here, and then you put the cooler on, you know, and the cooler ships without the fan attached, so you don't have to worry about that till the end. You know, everything's attached, just two screws that go down very easily, and then you put your fan on, you connect it, and you're good to go. The fan is an ARGB fan too. It's not just RGB, which I thought was a pretty good deal too for this price point. When you get into these lower price points, you see fans, and they're RGB fans, meaning that it can only be one color at once. It's not ARGB where it can do things like the rainbow wave and all that kind of stuff. It's really stuck at just a single color at a single time, or it can rotate between colors, but it's not like, you can't do more advanced effects like rainbow wave and things like that. This is 3-pin ARGB. No controller with this, but again, it plugs into your motherboard, so you can use your motherboard's RGB software. to do that. And you can kind of see here's some of the you know, main colors. But then again, you can do that rainbow wave, which I think a lot of people will do. But again, it's up to your motherboard's software what you can do. But I mean, you can see even with it installed, we have 100% memory clearance on this. You know, so it's not going to block your RGB memory, which you paid a lot of money for. So yeah, I like the way it looks. And performance wise, it does a pretty good job. Obviously, I wasn't expecting much, you know, based on its price and even its size too, because it's not the biggest cooler. You know, idle temperatures, these are all pretty relative because this is only, you know, the one up here, it's only a degree difference. It's not as bad as this graph makes it look. Low temperature, I mean, it's the fourth best cooler in our mild load test, which is really good, beating out a lot of higher end coolers. And then the crazy low temperature, it's the fifth best, which is really good.
Nice.
It's beating a lot of double fan coolers. It's doing a lot here. And again, these temperatures are pretty relative. Like, they're not completely, you know, 68 yeah, like to 71.
2 and 3 degree differences between.
Yeah. Them. But I was really, you know, surprised based on its size of how well it did do. It is a bit louder. So if we go to our highest load test, it is the second loudest cooler. You know, that 120 millimeter fan is doing its job, right? It's keeping things nice and cool, which I think if you're in those super high load situations, for the most part, you're gaming and you have a headset on. So it's not going to be that big of a deal. But overall, I think for the price, it's $30.
People pay $30 or more for a single ARGB fan. So
yeah, that's in the fact that even some of the Hyper 212s and, you know, even like a single fan Noctua cooler is $50, $60 too.
Right.
While those might have better performance, and I would say probably a better mounting solution just on quality, because I've, you know, use a lot of the Noctua stuff. It's $30. Like, you can't complain with $30. No. You just can't. You can't. You know, so I think overall it has really good, you know, it has really good performance. It is slightly loud, but it's not like, it doesn't sound like the AMD stock cooler, which is really loud if you're putting full load on your CPU. So it doesn't sound like that. So I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award. It's $30. It's a really good air cooler for $30. Like, you can't.
Now, do they make a larger one that's maybe like a two? You know, two tower or two fan or a larger heatsink in general?
Let's see. Jongsbo. Here's the,
because they make there. A ton of cases. So I'm just curious, you know, is that something where they make larger units for maybe higher performance needs?
There's a CR. Oh, no. That's,
oh, there's one. There's one down that has two heat pipes and two towers.
Oh, right standard. Here. Yeah.
Yeah.
The CR3000. Yeah. So maybe we'll, you know, we could maybe see if we can get some of these into review. I know these Pisa ones are like they're new ones, right?
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see what like a larger dual tower cooler could do from them. But yeah, they have a bunch of stuff. And like I said, and even the quality on the fans, like if you look here, actually I'll go to.
Looked like it had rubber pads on the corners.
It has rubber pads on the corners, but like even like this cool little design on the fan right here, it just looks good. This cap that's on the heatsink, it is plastic, but it still looks good. It has that sort of like
reminds me of Deep Cool.
It has that fake plastic, fake aluminum look, like that brushed aluminum fake look. It still looks good. I think overall, like I said, I was really impressed based on the price. And like I said, it's $29.99 on Amazon right now. So you would, like I said, if you're building a system, if you're looking at air coolers and you don't need some crazy, crazy big cooler, this is like I said, it's a recommended buy from me for sure. Just because one, like I said, you're not covering your memory. It looks good. It has an ARGB fan. The performance is good. And like I said, most importantly, it's $30. And just think, you know, like I said, a really high-end air cooler is like $60. Imagine putting that $30 towards faster memory, or going from like a 512 gigabyte SSD to a 1 terabyte SSD. Like, that's what you can do with that extra $30. You know what I mean? So yeah. So check out the review. Like I said, if you're interested, I will be doing a full video on this cooler as well. So stay tuned on our YouTube channel for that as well. Old man in the chat says, I wouldn't mind going with an air cooler for my next build. There's something to be said for set it and forget it reliability. Yeah, I mean, I haven't had I did have one fan die once on an air cooler. And it was like a big air. This was like years ago. This is like a big air cooler, and it had like one of those center fans. And you couldn't, by like looking at it,
you can't tell.
You couldn't tell that it wasn't running. I was like, why is my CPU so that's the only time I had an issue. With that. So that's and I think it was one of those ones that had like the Y connector for the fans. So
split them. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the motherboard was still reading the fan speed of the one, but not the other one. If that makes sense. So
yeah,
like I said, check out the review. Like I said, I was really impressed. And it's like I said, it's not often you get impressed by a $30 product, I would say. So
right.
Go ahead and check that out. Also, we have my video on the MSI Meg Trident X2. We talked about this last week. The video review is now on YouTube as well. And I think that's how I'm going to be hopefully doing things kind of going forward, is when we launch a review, the written review will go on the website first. And then the following week, we'll have the YouTube video so you guys can check that out. So we talked about this last week. I'm not going to go over detail, but this is their like 4K gaming pre-built system from MSI. It has a 4090 13900KF. Full video, 12 minutes long on the whole system, performance, everything like that. So if you're interested, it is on our YouTube. It's also in the show notes. You can find the link there as well. So definitely go ahead and check that out. We will also talk about KSMOD Friday. And we have another themed build this week. And this one is super, super cool. So if you're a Halo fan, you're going to like this one. This one's from Mayhem Mods, and it's called Halo. And I have to say, like, the panel work on this is just so cool, in my opinion. I wanted to know your thoughts on this one.
Sorry, I was going to the case mod gallery real quick, but the panel work, like the front panel,
yeah,
is that what you're talking about? Yeah, it looks cool. It's just that armored look that you would kind of expect from Halo, right? Whether it's one of their vehicles or like a Master Chief helmet or something like that. I'm not a big Halo guy, so I don't know like all the terms and all that, other than Master Chief, right? But yeah, it's cool. And that, you know, that green and gold look and color scheme that they have, I didn't see these fittings. I didn't look at this build up close.
Yeah,
but the green custom fittings. Green and gold there, yeah, that's nice touch of detail.
Yeah, but yeah, I think this work on the panels is my favorite thing. It really gives you that Halo feel and that Halo look, which is really cool. Yeah, and then internally, you know, you do have an air-cooled graphics card, but the CPU is water-cooled, which is kind of a contrast. But this is that big iChill graphics card in there as well. Says
yeah, it has some nice angles on it. I think it kind of makes sense to maybe make it air-cooled as opposed to a custom block on there.
Yeah, for sure. And then here's like the opposite side with whatever that logo is for Halo. The
USNC.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really cool there. You can see it from, you know, it's pretty cool. So he put the graphics card in. You can do it a couple different ways. So here's one way he put the graphics card in, but you can also mount it the other way too. So you can mount it this way, which is really cool there too. So I like this build. These Halo, even though like Halo's more of like an IP for Xbox, even though there are PC games, I really, really like these. A lot of these Halo builds that we've seen recently are really, really good. Kind of makes me, oh man. Halo was so much fun. Like, I don't, like, when I was younger, I remember when Halo came out for Xbox, and it's like all you did was play Halo with your friends. It was a good time.
Yeah, I was, I just wasn't a game I ever played. Yeah. I wasn't an Xbox guy.
Oh man, that was my gaming. Oh no, I guess my gaming might not, maybe that it start with Xbox. I remember playing Counter-Strike 2, so like, you know, Counter-Strike 1.6. Yeah, I played that a lot too. So, but in any case, guys, check this out. Again, shout out to Mayhem Mods, great work. And like I always say, if you want to just check out Case Mods, you want to, you know, you're at work and you're bored and you want to check out Case Mods, just go on the website, go to articles, Case Mod Friday, and there are a ton that you guys can check out. I mean, we have years of Case Mods at this point. So if you want to get some inspiration or just you're into Case Mods, you want to see what you can do with PC parts, this is definitely something to check out. So go ahead and do that. Also, quick reminder about our contest. I actually still have them sitting here from last week. We are giving away two Kingston Data Traveler Max USB flash drives, and they're USB 3.2 Gen 2, 1,000 megabytes a second. The contest is extremely easy to enter. We do it all through Gleam, so you know how that goes. You can, you know, follow us on socials. You can subscribe to our newsletter. You can do all that to get entered. But like I said last week, if you're not subscribed to our email newsletter, which is required for this contest, and say you subscribe and then unsubscribe, I'll know. So if I choose you as a winner and you're not subscribed to the email newsletter, then you're not a winner. So that's just kind of how all that goes.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean that's a requirement for our contest. Typically, it's become part of the email newsletter. And if you are part of the email newsletter, all of our giveaways are announced there first. So before it even, I mean, it's on the website, but it's kind of hidden. So before we put it out on social, it goes to you guys first. And any kind of new crazy announcement with the website goes out to the email list before it goes on social media. So it's a good, like I said, it's good to be, you know, part of the email newsletter. Like if I throw like a Steam code in our Discord or something like that, like I'll send an email first and then I'll put it on social. So yeah. But that brings us to news. And it was so hard not to talk about this last week because Asus briefed me on this last week. We were talking about it and I was like, I want to say stuff, but I couldn't. So we have all the details on Asus's ROG Ally, as well as what's going to be powering it, which is a custom SoC from AMD, which of course we hinted at and it was kind of leaked and expected. So we have the brand new AMD Ryzen Z1 series processors, and these are specifically made for handheld gaming devices. And I absolutely love this because these new handhelds that are coming out, it kind of did start with the Steam Deck. Steam Deck is like a fully fledged PC in your hand. And we've seen some other ones, especially like over in China and stuff like that. These, you know, we talk about them every once in a while. But this is especially what, again, what Asus briefed us on, this is going to be a massive launch for them. And it's going to push, I feel, other companies to kind of do the same thing. And it's good to see mobile gaming, like real, like not cloud gaming, not game streaming, like real, you can game on this little device, you know, fully fledged game. So starting off again, the Ryzen Z1 series, you're going to have two processors. So on the lower end, you're going to have the Ryzen Z1. This is a 6-core, 12-thread processor. It's going to have 4 RDNA 3 graphics cores. And then on the high end, you're going to have the Ryzen Z1 Extreme, which is an 8-core, 16-thread processor, 12 RDNA 3 graphics cores. And you can see the graphics performance. And they're comparing it to a Nintendo Switch. You can see that it, you know, it's doing some work.
That's a huge leap.
Yeah, and then you can see, like, native 1080p performance here. So the red is the Z1, and then the orange is the Z1 Extreme. And if you look at some of these games, like if you think about games that would be a lot of fun to play on like a little portable, you know, you're looking at like Red Dead Redemption. I'm thinking like Grand Theft Auto would be a great
GTA
game.
Be fun one, yeah. Yep.
And you're getting, you know, 80 FPS in that game. Forza, like a racing game, would be great. You're getting, you know, 80, 120. You know, I don't play Dota. I feel like Dota is a lot of clicking. I don't know how that would work on
there's Dota. A ton of clicking in
Dota. Yeah. CSGO maybe. You know, I know people that do play games like that. But yeah, I mean, pretty good performance at 1080p, and that's what the the ROG Ally, that's the screen. It's going to be a 1080p screen, which I actually like too. I don't know. I want to know your thoughts on that, Ryan. Like with the Steam Deck, it was like a, I forget the resolution, but it's a lower resolution. I think 1080p makes it simple for game developers as well. Like they don't have to develop a specific, you know.
Yeah, they don't have some odd custom resolution. And I think 1080p at that size is going to look just fine, right? Yeah. It's small enough where that image quality is going to be great.
Yeah, and then it says 60 FPS and beyond in some of the world's most demanding PC games. So again, you're looking at, you know, these games and it's, yeah. So it's going to be really, really cool to see this product. And it'll be interesting, like I said, now that this product's available, you know, this Z1 and Z1 Extreme, are we going to see more portables out there from, like, you know, this is Asus, but are we going to see one from, you know, like Logitech had their cloud, theirs is more of a cloud gaming one, but like, are they going to come out with a high end one, right? Or are you going to see, you know, MSI come out with one? Or, you know,
I would see those companies, you know, MSI, Gigabyte, obviously Asus is coming with one before a Logitech, but I guess I could have said that about Razer a couple of years ago, right? I see Logitech as that peripheral designer.
I can see Razer doing
whole thing, yeah. But I can see Razer exactly going into this as well.
Yeah. So it'd be pretty interesting to see what, you know, what portables come out of this. But it is really cool. And again, this is just like another way that AMD has kind of got in there, because if you think about it, like this should have been all in, Intel should have been all in on this. Like, you know what I mean? But it just seems when it comes to like gaming consoles, whether it's Xbox, PlayStation, like AMD kind of has that market on lock when it comes to these SoCs. This market isn't as big, but like an Xbox again, or a PlayStation, that's a massive market to not be in if you're Intel, you know what I mean? So
yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what other handhelds do come out, but we have all the details or most of the details on the ROG Ally. Like I said, I was briefed on this and they went over like how they designed it, the different, they had all these different mock-ups and how it felt in the hands. And that was like their big design thing, was how this thing is going to feel in your hand, because you want it to be comfortable. I think at the end of the day, if you're playing with a handheld, you don't want it to be uncomfortable after 20 minutes, after a half an hour, you know? They spent so much time just developing the outer shell and all that kind of stuff, which is really, really cool. But yeah, I mean, it is official now. This is what it's going to look like.
It looks good. It looks hard though. Like you know what I mean? That white plastic to me just looks hard. Not that a controller's not hard. I don't know how to explain it. It just looks.
Yeah. I would like to,
you're literally just talking about comfort, and I see it and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. And what's really cool about this too, is that not a lot of people see this, but like, I mean, if you've had a Asus motherboard, like there's Armory Crate. So Armory Crate is going to be built, and that's going to be the UI for this. And it's going to pull all of your games from all of your different launch, because this is a Windows 11 based device. So it's going to pull all your games from all of your launchers, and Armory Crate's going to launch everything. So you don't have to be like, oh, I have to open up this launcher.
That's cool.
I need Steam. I need Ubisoft. I need EA. Like it's going to pull everything together. And I believe that Armory Crate will like also optimize all of these titles, just like kind of how the GeForce GeForce Experience will like optimize the game. This will do very much the same thing, which is cool. So that's kind of what this UI looks like. It is slightly big, but it's not, I think, for the 1080p screen. I mean, I don't know. I like it. I can't justify buying it.
No.
Because I wouldn't play it enough.
Right. There's definitely a market for it, right? It's just you and I don't fit that purchase model.
Yeah. And I don't, again, most of the games we do play are very much multiplayer and you want to be like on a computer. But I think for a lot of single player games, this would be great. Like instead of sitting in here, I can go just lay on the couch and play through like a, like the Star Wars or something like that. You know what I mean?
That'd be a good one for this too. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, really cool. They're having their official launch event on May 11th. And the times and everything. There'll be a live stream and all of that going over everything. Now, it is said that we talked, we did have a post on the website, but there could be a high-end version based on that Z1 Extreme and then a lower-cost version that's more for, like, certain titles and cloud gaming that's going to be based on just that Z1. So you could play a lot of titles. You got to turn down the settings a little bit. And then, of course, you could probably do cloud gaming and stuff like that with it, too. So from what Asus says, I mean, they're going all in on this. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a thing, but they put a lot of time and money behind this thing. So I think, you know, and again, it's Windows based. It's not like Steam runs on their own Steam OS. Like you can kind of install what you want on here, you know. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what people cool. do with this as time goes on and it kind of matures a little bit. But I'm excited for it. As much as I don't play, I won't play it. It does look really cool. Talking about the Steam Deck, I saw the story today and it's pretty crazy. So obviously there's a conflict going on in Ukraine. I'm sure everybody knows about it. We don't need to go into that. But they're using a Steam Deck to control a machine gun turret, and we have a link so you can check it out. But yeah, I mean, they're using an actual Steam Deck to control a machine gun.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
probably not the use Valve had in mind when they were designing it,
but yeah, that's pretty cool.
Ingenuity, again, right?
Well, yeah, and again, you're like removing people from danger in the battlefield,
right
and all of that. But yeah, definitely not what Valve had.
I wonder, is this like usually a remote controlled device anyways, but this gives them some additional features, or is this something where they've tacked it onto a gun that is usually, like you said, manned?
I would assume it's, I mean, based on the way this gun looks and is set up,
it looks pretty futurist or pretty new.
Yeah, so I'm guessing this is already like a controlled. And again, in most of these situations where you need tech, it would be like a rugged ThinkPad or something like that.
Like those, right? Panasonic, yeah.
Yeah, books. Like those rugged things. But this is so small and so easy. It does make a lot of sense. And it has it actually has sticks on it that like are probably more intuitive than like a key, like a mouse, not even a mouse, but like a, you know, moving the arrow keys or whatever you need to do. And it probably is pretty easy to use, I would say. So it's pretty cool to see. It is pretty interesting. So yeah. Old Man said, I'd like to see Game Pass on those handhelds. A lot of games that are optimized for controllers. Yeah. So the ROG Ally will have, I think, 3 months free Game Pass if you buy it.
Cool.
So you get that as well. So you can play a ton of games in those first 3 months that you have the device too, which is really cool. So yeah. Moving on to graphics cards. We talked about AMD dropping prices of their sort of high-end models to kind of compete with the RTX 4070. We're seeing this again. They dropped the RX 6950 XT to $599. I mean,
that was like their top of the line for a while.
Yeah.
16 gig. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was $629. And then $30 promo code. I believe it sold out though, because when I clicked on it earlier today, it was completely sold out. But yeah, I mean, they're making it competitive, which is good to see, right? It's reactionary, obviously, but again, you know, it's at 16 gig versus the you know, the 8 gig or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's making it hard to not pick something like that up, right? Maybe it consumes more power, you know, or something like that. But I mean, this, what, like I said, it that's pretty cheap for what that is, you know. So I think that it's pretty cool to see that there as well. But if you wanted to go the RTX 4070 route, Micro Center is offering a $100 Steam gift card with every purchase of a RTX 40 series.
Pretty good deal.
So even if you bought, like you can buy a 4070, you can turn a $100 Steam gift card into $85 cash if you wanted to. There's websites that you can do it. So you could bring this price down to close to like, you know, 420, you know, 430. If you really wanted to, or you could have a $100 Steam gift card and buy a game that you wanted or whatever. So that's really cool. And again, it's on every 40 series card. So if you were looking to buy a 4090, a 4080, a 4070 Ti, they're all there. But it is a pretty good deal, especially if you're looking at 4070s and the MSRP ones, you know, that just gives you an incentive to buy that. So that's pretty cool. So that's at Micro Center. We have that link if you want to check that out as well. You don't have a Micro Center close to you, do you?
It's like 2.5-3 hours away.
Sometimes you gotta make that drive. Isn't that where you bought your processor?
No.
Oh, where'd you buy your processor?
I think I got it on Amazon or eBay. Really? From who's the vendor? It was like is it all CPU or something like that?
Okay, gotcha. Talking about graphics cards, do you remember a graphics card company back in the day called
Sparkle? Ant Online. That's who I bought it from.
Oh, yeah. That's who I bought mine from. Yeah. My what did I buy from them? One of the two processors I have, I bought from them as well.
But yes, I do know Sparkle, mostly for power supplies, yes.
But you remember Sparkle, right?
Yeah.
And they were one of those, they had some good graphics cards years ago, and then they kind of stopped making graphics cards. Kind of happens. And they were doing like embedded solutions and things like that. But now they're re-entering the GPU market, selling Intel GPUs. So, so they have an Arc A750, A380. You can see here. Nothing crazy. I do like
to say not my favorite design.
I always liked, and Sparkle had done this for a while, but they put like their name on the rear IO instead of just having like holes here or nothing here. It says Sparkle. I don't know. I've always liked that. That was like one thing.
Actually doing something with that ventilation instead of just
being but yeah, there's the A380 card. Again, nothing crazy, right? But yeah, it's good to see, right? It's good to see, you know, Sparkle come back. And maybe this, maybe they do well with this. Maybe they'll start doing other graphics cards, you know, from you know, AMD or NVIDIA or anything like
that. You wonder if they're like interested in getting back in business with AMD and NVIDIA, but they're both like, no, why don't you like prove yourself with an Intel card and then we'll come back and talk to us again.
Yeah, we'll see. So that's pretty cool to see. I like stories like that. So what else do we have? I saw this and I was like, I got to tell Ryan about this. So I'll put it up on the screen so you can see it.
Good Lord.
So Thermalright has been coming out with these M.2 coolers. We've covered a couple of them, and I think this is probably the craziest design that we've seen, because these, especially the first round of these Gen 5 NVMe SSDs, are going to be very hot. They're going to require active cooling. That's why a lot of them that you've seen that have been announced have like a little fan like this, but this is really crazy. So this is... what is this? This HR10, is that what it's called? Yeah, their HR10 Pro, which has two massive heat pipes that go into a heat sink, and then part of that heat sink is cooled off by this tiny little fan, which has to be loud.
It's got to be loud. I mean, we saw some coolers that had actually really pretty small fans on them, right? They were tiny fans. This looks to be quite a bit larger. I don't know if it's quite like a 40 millimeter. I think it's smaller than a 40, maybe not.
I think it's a little bit smaller.
Well, but just think about it. That's probably what an 80 millimeter heat sink. So anyways, lengthwise for the
right?
Like a 2280.
Yeah, you could be right. It could be a 40.
Either way, yes, it's gonna be loud, but that thing's enormous.
Yeah, it's huge. And then some of the previous ones that they have that we talked about, I remember this one.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, this big one. But yeah, they're, like I said, it's cool to see this stuff. This kind of reminds you of the old days, I feel, when it comes to cooling. So yeah, they're going to have a bunch of these M.2 coolers, which again, a lot of these ones, these Gen 5 drives, you will need something like this. So it's cool to see. They're going to be loud, but yeah, very, very cool to see there as well. Now, you sent me this initially, and yeah. I was like, this is crazy. It's so real. Like, it looks so real. And we're not going to play the gameplay footage, but you can check it out in the article. So this upcoming kind of police-style tactical FPS game is coming out called Unrecord. And it's based off the Unreal 5 engine. And you have to watch the trailer because these screenshots...
The screenshots don't do it justice.
Don't do it justice.
No.
And when I first saw it, and you first had sent me the video, again, the video is in the article if you want to see it, or just go on YouTube and type Unrecord gameplay. It looked like one of those things. Do you remember when like GoPros kind of first came out and you would see these kind of like people made these short FPS films of somebody like with a GoPro on them of like a first person type of thing where they were doing like parkour or there was a,
I've watched the guys playing like airsoft, right? Running around and body cam stuff. And
yeah, this is very, it is so realistic. When it's
a single frame like this, it doesn't look, like I said, you've got to watch the video because
you have to watch
when it's in motion. Like the movement's so good. The hand movements with like reloading the gun is great. It's nuts.
Looks so real. And a lot of people were saying that it was fake, that it was like a GoPro. It was
just video and they,
But the game devs actually put out this long thing on their Steam page about it. And it, you know, talking about different things about the game, and it is real footage and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people online were saying like, this is not good. Like it's way too real. Like, you know, there's people that talk about how video, I don't believe in this.
Right. You become desensitized to this makes it easier to shoot someone type of thing.
Yeah. That type of stuff, which I don't subscribe to. Yeah. I play video games all my life. And there were some pretty prominent gaming people in the gaming realm that were saying this is too real. I don't know. It's crazy that Unreal 5 engine looks like this. Like you see some of these demos, but you don't see it in a real game. And this, like I said, it looks like somebody wearing a GoPro.
Well, you see those demos and it's like, oh, here's this beautiful like jungle scene where it would be from an adventure game, right? And it's too thematic and too on theme for that. You're like, oh, this is like watching the new Indiana Jones or something. But this is like, it feels like a real place, a real warehouse, a real broken down, you know, building here that's been abandoned and graffitied up, right? They put it in realistic situations that adds to the real feeling.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So if you want to check it out, again, it's called Unrecord. Again, we have the video in the article, but you can also, again, just go on YouTube and just type Unrecord gameplay and you can see it. It's probably the realest game that I've seen ever. I don't know if you've seen anything that's looked more realistic than that.
I don't think so.
So check that out. Like I said, it's pretty interesting for sure. So also on the gaming front, and this is something I've told Ryan to do with other, like with Apex, because he always has issues with Apex.
No, whatever.
Is that Far Cry 6 is coming to Steam next month. So I believe you'll be, you know, they had the Ubisoft had exclusive with EA or no, who's the why is my brain dead right now? Who's the
I don't know, and I'm typing to old man. So
what's the who makes Fortnite?
Epic.
Yeah, so they had an exclusive with Epic, so you could buy it through Epic. And of course their own launcher. But now it's coming to Steam. So you'll be able to, I assume just like with all those games, you'll be able to, if you currently own the game, you'll be able to link it within Steam, kind of how you do that. If you want to, but yeah, it's good to see that coming to Steam. This is a game that I use to benchmark, and it's the only one that's not Steam. So I have to open the Ubisoft launcher and do all that junk. So it'd be nice to kind of just link it to Steam, so I don't have to do all that. But yeah, that's coming to Steam. And then our last story of the day is Diablo 4. The final beta test has been announced, and they're calling it a server slam, which basically they want everybody to get on and play, and they test everything out and see how it all goes. So that's going to start May 12th, and they have all the information about it. It's just not my – I never got into this game. I never got into Diablo at all.
I played Diablo 3 through, like, once and then started it up again, like, right after I beat it, but never, like, played all the way through again. It was fun. It was fine. If it was shorter than I thought it would be.
Okay.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I just never really... I mean, I played Diablo 3 a little bit. It just was never my thing. I don't know. I just couldn't get into it, really. In the chat, Old Man says he wonders how much RAM they're using for the textures, talking about Unrecord. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see what... You know, that demo that we saw... What kind of systems powering that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like how much VRAM are you going to need? Those type of things. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see kind of how that game kind of evolves, and if there's going to be like some backlash from who knows who, because it's too real, and if they're not going to be able to launch it or something, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we'll keep you updated on all of that. Again, I won't be playing in this Diablo 4 server slam at all. Is that a game that you think you might be picking up?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah.
We just play Apex. Pick it up and won't play it. Yeah.
Yeah. We just play Apex. That's all we play. Then Unrecord. I probably play Unrecord just to try it.
It depends what the game style is, because I don't think it's just a straight like FPS shooter, right? It's number one, it's more tactical from what I understand, but I almost feel like there's that first person view and action part is only one part of the game.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a good story game.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll see. Talking about what we have coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at two cool products. So I'll be taking a look. What? There it goes. The Tower 500 from Thermaltake. So this is a larger version or a small. It's a larger version of the Tower 100. It's a smaller version of the Tower 900. So you can see it here. Fits like a full motherboard and all that kind of stuff. But just a little bit bigger if you wanted to do a little bit more with this sort of, I guess a lot of people have called it like the fish tank kind of look. But this can support a lot larger stuff. Or like I said, a lot smaller stuff than the 900. You can do some cool stuff with it. So... There's two different, you know, air-cooled, liquid-cooled. Mine's going to be air-cooled and not even as cool-looking as this. But you can do, like I said, there's a 360mm AIO. Like, there's a lot of space here where you can do different things with this case. So I'll have that for you guys. And then I'm also going to be taking a look at a motherboard from MSI. So they sent over their Z790 Tomahawk Wi-Fi DDR4. Tomahawk, that's kind of their more affordable line, and it makes sense that it's DDR4, because if you don't know, 13th gen processors and 12th gen processors, they support either DDR4 or DDR5. So you can kind of pick, if you want to bring your old DDR4 over from your previous build, or if you want to save some money, pick up some DDR4 instead of DDR5, you could do that with this board. And again, like I said, Tomahawk's really good. They have, like I said, it's a good looking board overall too. It has a lot of different features. So I will be telling you guys about that next week as well. So excited for all of that. As we come to the end here, did you want to get the games from Epic?
Sure.
And then we'll talk about if we did any tech related. I know you were outside. You went fishing.
Ryan went fishing. Yeah. He says Breath Edge and Poker Club are free on Epic tomorrow at 10 a.m. So I'll see what's free right now. Let me. Epic always takes forever to open up.
I feel like anytime I'm streaming everything, I think Chrome's just like such a crappy browser. I'm just not a Chrome fan anymore. It just eats all my memory. That's basically what it does.
Download more memory.
I know. That's what you can do. You can download memory. I remember there was some kid and it was like a joke. And this was like maybe 10 years ago on YouTube. He's like, increase your internet speed by doing this. And it was like something so like it wasn't real, but like everybody believed that you could do it. And then like there was also somebody that made like a video that was like, download more RAM. Like, this is how you can download more RAM to make your computer faster. And like everybody in the comments, like, I did it. It didn't work. Like, how much?
So like free until tomorrow morning are Beyond Blue and Never Alone.
Gotcha.
Beyond Blue looks like some sort of underwater game. Interesting.
All right. Well,
I didn't do anything tech related really.
Did you? So you went fishing.
Yes.
You didn't bring your drone or anything with you when you went fishing?
No, I did bring my GoPro and I brought the chest straps and I ended up just not using it. I was just too interested in just fishing, right?
Instead, you gotta put it underwater and get the fish view.
That water was,
you know, like what's the alligator show where they go and hunt the alligators?
No idea.
I don't know, but in that show, they're like hunting these alligators, right? And then like do you have the underwater view of like them like getting these alligators and it's all like murky and stuff? And then like every time they go to the underwater view, then they cut to a commercial, so you don't know what's gonna happen.
Of course they do.
Yeah, so funny. But yeah, I haven't done anything. I've been watching a little bit of Mandalorian. It's all right.
I need to get caught up in it.
Yeah,
I'm like four or five episodes behind.
Yeah, I'm like four. I think I'm four in. I've just been watching stuff on YouTube. There's been some really good stuff on YouTube lately. So that's kind of my free time has gone to YouTube and then hockey playoffs. But if you want to keep on watching us, if you're watching this on Twitch, the stream will go down and come right back up. Ryan will be hosting that stream. If you're not watching this on Twitch, if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, you can go over to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We'll be over there. And Ryan will have that gaming stream up. He's playing some Apex, man. I'm kind of excited. Yeah. I'm drinking the which one is this? I forget what stuff this is now. But it has something that like doesn't dissolve that's supposed to help with your eyes. So I'm going to be good.
The stuff that doesn't dissolve helps with your eyes.
Yeah. So there's this stuff in this stuff. This is like a G Fuel, but it's not, I forget what it's called. We reviewed it, but I still have it in this stuff.
Was it like the Ghost or something spot?
No, it might be the
sneak. But the G Fuel always seemed to have that as well. Like,
so it's kind of hard to see in here, but like there's like these things and it looks like it's just part of the mix, but it doesn't dissolve. And I think it's this plant that's supposed to make your eyes see better or something. So if I'm better tonight, that's the reason. That's all I got to say. So yeah, guys, we will be over there. We appreciate everybody coming on the live stream. Old man, of course, good to see you here in the live stream. And everybody that listens later, we definitely appreciate you. And we will see everybody next week.